since news of the Flint water crisis, we've heard a lot on the hazards of lead, especially for children. Everything from developmental disabilities to hearing loss to chronic fatigue. Since news of the unsafe water in Flint hit headlines, a lot of other cities have been taking note of lead contamination in their own backyards and found problems as bad, maybe even worse than Flint's, especially in communities with older housing.
One of the most well-known ways to get lead poisoning is through lead paint, which can be found in old houses that haven't been updated since lead paint was outlawed in 1978. But lead has managed to make its way into homes through the water supply as well.
David Jacobs joins us now. He's chief scientist at the National Center for Healthy Housing. He previously worked at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development as director of the Office of Healthy Homes and Lead Hazard Control. He was principal author on Housing and Urban Development's guidelines and the President's Task Force report on childhood lead poisoning in 2000. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good afternoon. Glad to be with you.
Well, a lot of attention on Flint, and a lot of cities are maybe looking around trying to figure out if they have a problem. It seems like part of the problem is, on a national level, we just don't know how bad the lead problem is. Is that right?
Well, we do have some data from the Centers for Disease Control, which is charged with counting the number of children who have been lead poisoned. Their latest estimate is that well over half a million, 535,000 to be exact, children have blood lead levels above their reference value.
But as I understand it, not all states report to the CDC, and the states that do pretty much all have different standards by which they report.
Yes, that's right. And in fact, the funding for the Centers for Disease Control has been slashed in recent years, making it far more difficult for them to properly do their surveillance activities. So you're right, we don't have a great estimate of the actual number of children who are exposed. It's probably much higher than the number I just gave you.
And can you talk about, we alluded to this a bit, how bad lead is, how big a concern this should be for us?
Well, we've known about the problems of lead for, millennia, actually. And so it's not one of those metals your body needs, like iron or zinc. It has no useful value in the body, and in fact, it causes all sorts of issues with behavior and intelligence declines and many other adverse health outcomes. So that's the bad news. The good news is that we actually do know how to control this problem.
Yeah, and let's get into remediation. We see, as we mentioned, lead coming from paint, often in older houses, and water supplies. Do you have a sense of which is our biggest problem, our biggest worry in the country right now?
Well, they both are. The fact is that housing has been known for a long time to be the major risk factor, but, in a case like Flint or, years ago in other cities, it's like any other disease. If we don't pay attention to how to control the risk factors, then it comes back to haunt us. And the same is true whether it's lead in paint or lead in water. These are both concerns, and we need to take steps to properly control those risks.
This is a problem that's concentrated in certain areas, as I understand it. 60% of Wisconsin's lead-poisoned population is in Milwaukee County. That county's had about 442 cases of lead poisoning in 2014. What is it that makes certain cities vulnerable to lead contamination?
Well, actually, I looked up the Milwaukee data myself, and if you look at the number of children who are exposed above the CDC reference value, which is now 5, the actual number is more like 2,800. So this is a huge problem in Milwaukee and elsewhere. And as you alluded to, the primary issue has to do with older housing as well as lead-contaminated or lead drinking water pipes. And those pipes can be managed if the if the water chemistry is handled properly, and lead hazards in homes can also be managed properly in the near term. But we need to have both a short-term strategy as well as a long-term strategy to make sure that our children are protected.
We're talking about lead contamination in housing, mostly older housing. We have David Jacobs with us, chief scientist at the National Center for Healthy Housing. Let's get into fixing these problems, David. Let's start with our water supply. It seems like there are a couple of approaches. One is anti-corrosive agents in places where you have lead water intakes, lead water lines, or the other option, getting rid of those lead water lines and replacing them. What are the pros and cons of each approach?
Well, obviously, replacing the lead lines is far more expensive, but I think that the cities that have embarked on this have basically adopted a twofold approach. That is, in the near term, let's make sure our water chemistry is right and control the hazards. And then we should also be updating the EPA drinking water lead standard, which hasn't been updated since 1990. It's way out of date and needs to be fixed, or updated, I should say. The second thing is to replace those lead lines. Ultimately, we don't really know where they are. We should know where they are. Some cities have proceeded to do that. For example, when they pave the streets, they also take that opportunity to replace the lead service lines. So I think the most rational approach is to adopt a two-pronged strategy, one dealing with, you know, the immediate risks so that they're controlled, and then we have a long-term strategy to remove the sources of exposure so that they don't ever, threaten our children again.
As you say, this is expensive. Are a lot of communities taking that approach that you're talking about to ultimately get rid of all those lead lines?
No, I'd have to say that's probably the exception, not the rule. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that the nation has not adequately invested in our drinking water treatment systems. So you kind of get what you pay for. If we don't make the investments in our infrastructure, whether it's pipes or the ability of our water treatment plants, or lead paint in housing, for that matter, we will run the risk of poisoning our children. And there's no good reason for that. We should make the investment.
And are we doing enough monitoring, both of our water and of blood lead levels in children?
No. For example, even in Wisconsin, only a fraction of the children are actually screened for lead exposure. Now, of course, that's limited because if the blood leads are high, then in some respects the damage has that has already been done. Mm-hmm. So we need to take further steps to make sure that the children are screened, and we also need to screen their houses as well as the drinking water lines. So why not do a census, for example, to find out where are those lead lines? Where is the lead paint located in a home? Right now, there's no requirement to do such a census to find out where the problem actually is.
And let's get into lead paint and remediation of it. It's concentrated, as I understand, in sometimes older housing, often for lower-income residents, maybe people who can't afford to deal with it properly. Is there some kind of wider effort to help, remove, cover lead paint?
The technologies to control lead paint hazards is pretty well known. It's been around for decades. However, you're right to point out that the hazards are greater in low-income communities and communities of color. The main funding source for remediation is the HUD Lead Hazard Control Program, and that program has slowly declined in funding over recent years. So the privately owned low-income housing stock, where the risks are greatest, don't really have adequate resources to address the problem. In the HUD budget, it has declined from when I was there. The peak was $175 million a year. That's now down to, I think it's $110 million. So full funding for that program is on the order of $230 million a year. And happily, I'm pleased to report that some Congress members seem to be pursuing full funding for that program. It's sad in some ways that a case like Flint is what it takes to get the attention, but perhaps we'll see some progress on that front.
David, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to David Jacobs, Chief Scientist at the National Center for Healthy Housing, Adjunct Associate Professor at the School of Public Health at the University of Illinois at Chicago. He's been talking to us about some of the hazards of lead in older homes.